This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking about diabetes. And perhaps some of you have it, some of you may have it and don't know it. I understand that there are not a whole lot of advance warnings sometimes. Visiting with us from Middle Tennessee Medical Center, Teresa McDonald is here. Teresa, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Thanks for having us this morning.
Good to have you with us today. Pull that microphone real close to you and let it be your good buddy for just real close, like a telephone almost.
All right.
Like get it right up in your mouth. In addition to Teresa, Beverly Hyatt is here with us. Beverly, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks, Bart.
Good to have you with us. Tell us a little about diabetes. Is that something that a lot of people have, and do they know they have it?
Oh, yes. A lot of people have diabetes. There are two types of diabetes, type 1 and type 2. A lot of times people with type 2, which is we used to call adult onset, we're now seeing in our younger children because of overeating and being underactive.
Okay. By the way, in just a little while, we're going to ask you to hold off on the phone calls. About half past is when we open up the lines. And if you have questions dealing with diabetes, you can call us at that point. And a little background, Beverly is a certified diabetes educator with the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And Teresa is the clinic manager at the Diabetes Center, so they know what they're talking about this morning. Now, how dangerous is diabetes? I mean, gone unchecked, is it pretty rough? Can it do quite a bit of damage?
Well, yes, it can. Usually with the type 2 diabetes, as I said, which is usually developed later in life, it is said that people that are diagnosed with that might have had it for up to 10 years before they even know it, because it develops so slowly there aren't any symptoms. And then by the time they're diagnosed, sometimes some of the complications have already started.
How's the best way to get early diagnosis? I mean, would an annual physical at your family practitioner do it?
Absolutely. Some just standard blood work, if you go in for a yearly physical, could prompt the doctor to investigate further if you have diabetes or not, depending on what your glucose is with those lab tests.
So you do it through blood tests then?
Yes, that's okay. Exactly right.
So just a standard blood test, which hopefully all of you are doing once a year at least.
Right, that would be great if everyone had a yearly exam. And like I said, some of those blood tests include a glucose, which is blood sugar. And if that is elevated, then that will prompt the physician to further test, usually with what's called an A1C, mm-hmm. which is a 3-month blood test. We can actually determine what the average blood sugar has been in a person for the prior 3 months with the A1C test. And then depending on what that is, that can actually be diagnostic of diabetes.
How important is early diagnosis?
Extremely important, because the earlier you're diagnosed, then the better chance we have of intervening with lifestyle changes or medications if necessary, and can slow down the progress or even prevent some of the complications that type 2 diabetes can present.
Can it be cured?
It cannot be cured. Once you are diagnosed with diabetes, you will have that diagnosis for the rest of your life. However, it can be well controlled. So it is important, like I said, to get these tests, to take good care of yourself. And some of the cures that I hear about, for example, gastric bypass, curing diabetes, I think cure is probably a strong word to use, because if those people don't develop healthy lifestyles, then they will develop diabetes or symptoms of diabetes as well.
Well, you mentioned the gastric bypass. Then is diabetes linked to obesity.
Yes, it is. Type 2 diabetes is linked to obesity. Yes, sir.
Which is rampant, especially in the
South.
An
epidemic. Epidemic. Yes, sir.
Teresa, tell us, you're there at the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Are people sometimes, when they come in for the first time, are they sometimes shocked to have diabetes? Are they saying, well, I've led a healthy life all along. What is this?
Right, right. There is a certain period, really, for a lot of people, of denial that the diagnosis has actually been made. It, as Beverly alluded to, it can come on with the symptoms very slowly. And at the time of diagnosis, many people are very surprised that the diagnosis is there of diabetes. And when we talk about diabetes, we're talking specifically really about the slow onset and that type of thing for the type 2 diabetes. But one of the things that we try to do within our program is to educate the patient, to give them the right tools for taking care of this chronic disease, and try to prevent the complications, and try to just teach them a good healthy lifestyle, because that's a cornerstone of managing diabetes.
Now, Beverly, you had mentioned earlier that you can change your lifestyle. So what are we talking about? Exercise, what we put into our mouth, everything?
All of the above. How we eat, how active we are, excuse me, and the cycle of type 2 diabetes is what's rampant. You know, our young children now, we used to talk about diabetes type 2 as adult onset, and we can't use that term anymore because so many of our youth and adolescents are developing type 2 diabetes because, as I said, of overeating and being underactive.
Tell us a little more about how many people have diabetes. I mean, is this something that we have a good chance of getting?
Oh, yes. It's actually a worldwide epidemic. We're seeing diabetes in populations that we did not see diabetes in before, such as Asia. And a lot of that is contributed to westernization of that culture with the fast foods and things moving in. But it is a huge problem. The Center for Disease Control has said that about 26 million people now have diabetes. There's probably, we don't know how many more that have it and don't know it. And this means that 1 in 12 Americans now have diabetes, where they can face, you know, possible complications going forward. And it is the seventh leading cause of death in the United States.
Wow.
And the CDC has also predicted that by 2050, people that have diabetes will comprise about a third of the population in the United States.
Is it hereditary? Can you pass on diabetes to others?
Yes, yes, you can. It is. There are three main things that cause you to be more susceptible to developing it, and that is ethnicity and lifestyle, being overweight, as well as family history.
So if you have, when you said ethnicity, which?
African-American culture has a higher incidence of diabetes than the Caucasian. That's what I mean by ethnicity.
So if you're an African-American whose family has diabetes and you're overweight, you got a triple whammy.
You sure do, yes.
And if you're in that category, if somebody's saying, hey, that's me, they're describing me right
mm-hmm.
there. What should you do? I mean, if you don't have any of the symptoms, right?
Well,
there's no symptoms.
Right. You should still go in and have some routine blood work done. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage anyone, oftentimes people who are diagnosed with diabetes, and as you were talking about earlier, are surprised at that, actually go to the doctor. They probably haven't been to the doctor in a long time. Those are the type of people who only go when they're very, very sick. But if you're extremely tired, just don't have the energy that you used to have or think you should have, and you think you must be anemic or need vitamin 12 shots, you really need to go get screened for diabetes, because that's when a lot of people find out they do have diabetes.
You say anemic. Do you feel tired?
Very tired, very fatigued, yes.
So if you're going home in the afternoon and you just, the only place you can get to is the sofa,
uh-huh.
and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check on that.
That's right. And, you know, you can rule it out very easily by going to the doctor and get the routine lab work.
Now, you mentioned one of the end results is death. I think you said seventh.
Yes, seventh leading cause of death.
Pretty rough end result. Along that path, what are some things that happen to you that are not pleasant either?
Well, what we know, I think the symptoms are not symptoms, but complications of uncontrolled diabetes, and I emphasize the word uncontrolled, for a number of years, can lead to the blindness, amputations, kidney failure. And the bottom line, the reason for that is that when your blood sugar is high, your blood becomes thick. And the higher your blood sugar is, the thicker your blood is trying to run through the body, go through the little vessels that go, you know, provide blood to different parts of the body. And when that blood is so thick that those vessels can't stretch enough to allow blood through, then the vessels can break. And anytime blood can't get to where it needs to go, then that part of the body is probably going to be damaged.
Now, Teresa, I know the folks at Middle Tennessee Medical Center and the Diabetes Center, they are linked with St. Thomas Health, and all of that is linked with the American Diabetes Association. Tell us a little about that relationship.
Right. Both programs, both at Murfreesboro and in Nashville at St. Thomas, are accredited by the American Diabetes Association. And that accreditation is gained by providing comprehensive education opportunities for individuals with diabetes and maintaining high standards for that education as far as credentialed staff and ongoing documentation that's maintained with the ADA. So we're very proud of that award.
Now, let's say that somebody listening right now really wants to do things right. They don't have any clue that they have diabetes, and maybe they don't have diabetes, but they want to avoid having the opportunity of having diabetes. What changes in lifestyle should people do to avoid this totally?
One of the big things is to maintain an ideal body weight or an appropriate body weight. Be as active as you can be. Some people can't be active for other physical reasons. But you can always do a resistance training, get those wide yoga rubber bands, and even if you're sitting watching TV, you can stretch your arms and your legs with the rubber bands. It's really, having diabetes is, if we all had the lifestyle that someone with diabetes should lead, there would be less diabetes in the world. It's just a healthy way to live. It doesn't require buying special foods or anything like that, and I emphasize that when I'm seeing patients. It's just a very healthy way to live. And so again, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, even if you have a strong family history of diabetes, you can hopefully, maybe, it's nothing's a guarantee, mm-hmm. but by living a healthy lifestyle and maintaining a healthy weight, you stand a chance of getting through life without that diagnosis.
Well, you've hit some of the, I guess, red flags that come along with just about every disease we've talked about over the past several years. One of those being watch what you eat, control your weight, exercise. I don't think I've heard the third red flag that's gone up. Does smoking have anything to do with diabetes?
No, it doesn't, but what smoking does, it thickens the blood as well. And, of course, we all know the untoward effects of smoking. But if you smoke with diabetes, then with high blood sugar thickening your blood and smoking thickening your blood, then that's a double whammy for all the complications we've talked about.
So young children who do not exercise enough because they're playing with computers, eating fast food, and unfortunately many of them smoking at an early age in high school, they're starting off their risk for diabetes at an early age.
Very much so, yes. They're getting off on the wrong foot, that's for sure.
And parents need somehow to show them that's not the smart thing to do.
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, you know, kids will be kids, and sometimes it's hard to get through that information. But encouragement, and, you know, if the child's still living at home, then it's, you know, if the parent just provides healthy meals and doesn't have the snack food so readily available, then that might help.
Let's talk a little bit more about diabetes, and the scary thing is there are no warning signs except you find it through test of blood.
There are warning signs. There's two types of diabetes. There's actually three. There's gestational diabetes, when women develop a type 2 sort of diabetes while they're pregnant. That usually resolves with the birth of the baby. But for the most part, there's a type 1 and type 2. About 80% up to 90% of the people with diabetes have the type 2 that we've really been talking mostly about. But with type 1 diabetes, the other 10% of the population, that's a more rapid onset. That is what we used to call juvenile diabetes. We associated it with young babies all the way up through young adults in their 20s, and that's when the body attacks and destroys the part of the pancreas that makes insulin. And so those people get pretty sick pretty quick. They get extremely thirsty, just an unquenchable thirst, constant going to the bathroom. Their vision might get blurry. They're losing weight, and no matter what they eat or how much they eat, they continue to lose weight. And so those are pretty sudden onset of symptoms. Type 2, which is when the pancreas kind of just slows down, stops making as much insulin as it used to, that's a slower process. So as that happens, the body, being the wonderful machine it is, tries to compensate and cope with rising blood sugar. And it does a great job, so no symptoms present sometimes for years. But, you know, eventually you're going to feel pretty bad, and you might think you've got the flu or something, and you go to the doctor and find out you have diabetes.
Are there any programs that are offered at school through the American Diabetes Association, or any brochures that are available that could help people with this?
There's a lot of information online. There's a lot of misinformation online as well, but a couple of the more reliable websites would be the American Diabetes Association, as well as the website called DLife.
Okay. Our phone number is 893-1450, and we're at the halfway point where we're going to check on the traffic and weather. And when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. So if you have any questions, perhaps you have had diabetes, or perhaps you have diabetes, because as they have told us, you can't get rid of it. If you have it, you have it from now on out, but you can control it and live a normal lifestyle. Beverly Hyatt and Teresa McDonald are with us this morning from the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Now get on the line quickly, 893-1450 if you have a question or comment, 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Hey neighbor, when you talk, others listen. If it's on Good Neighbor Talk, keep it here.
WTNS. Ford of Murfreesboro is currently offering 0% financing for up to 66 months on the Ford Fiesta, Focus, Edge, Explorer, all F-Series trucks, Mustangs, Ford Escape, Taurus, and Ford Fusion. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro today and drive home in a new car, truck, or SUV. Ford of Murfreesboro is on Broad at Northfield Boulevard, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We've got a bit of congestion already. Old Fort Parkway at Bridge, Old Fort Parkway at Chaffin Place, Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, seeing some congestion building this morning. Also, we've got a bit of congestion on I-24 at the I-24 westbound junction there with Bell Road. and I-24 at the junction with I-40 West. Stop by Bradford Flooring and Paint Center at 1999 Nolensville Pike. Ask about the free tickets to the race at the fairgrounds this summer. Call Bradford Flooring at 251-5384. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see a chance for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Mostly cloudy sky conditions, and we'll get a high into the upper 80s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vuchitsky. Right now, 75.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
The Early Show with Brian Barrett is on weekday mornings, 5 to 6:30. The Morning News with Scott Walker, 6:30 to 7:50. Start your mornings with WGNS.
Hey, we're back again. Our number is 893-1450. If you have any questions about diabetes, give us a call. If you have any comments, 893-1450. Perhaps you have diabetes and you were surprised when you found out you had it. Maybe your thoughts could help somebody else who's about to have that same realization. 893-1450. Visiting with us this morning, Beverly Hyatt, who's a registered nurse, certified diabetes educator with the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center here in town. And Teresa McDonald is with us, the clinic manager of the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450, and let's go to the phones. Good morning, you're on WGNS. How are you today?
Yes, I have diabetes. I've had it about 4 years, and the doctor I go to, he says it's not important to check my glucose reading only in the morning, but I've been doing it in the afternoon, and I don't know what really the amount's supposed to be.
Okay. Well, what about that?
Okay, doc. The number of times you check your blood sugar will, you know, always ask your physician, because he'll tell you what he wants to know based on the time of the day. But just to give you some targets, the American Diabetes Association suggests that before your meals, your blood sugar be less than 120, and 2 hours after you eat, meaning from the first bite you take of that meal, you would wait 2 hours and then check. That's called our postprandial glucose, and that's usually the highest your blood sugar will be based on the meal you ate 2 hours ago. That's an important number because, as I've said earlier, we don't want your blood to get too thick at any point during the day, so that number should be less than 180. So that'll give you some targets to go by.
Well, mine's never been that high, but in the mornings it's around 110, 115.
Those are good numbers for fasting.
That's why he thinks he doesn't. I don't need to do it during. But when I go in for 3 months, then it's higher.
Well, that's, you know, one reason. The first thing I think of with that scenario is that your blood sugar after you eat is going too high, because that 3 month A1C, that's a 24/7 average for 2 to 3 months of what your blood sugar's been. So when people have good blood sugars when they check at home, but then they go to the doctor and their A1C is higher than they thought it would be or that it should be, that's sometimes an indication that after you eat, it's going too high, because that'll figure into that average.
Well, I should really take it at least once or twice more in the daytime, shouldn't I?
Well, that would be great. Just be cautious of the strips. They're very expensive, and you always want to not overdo what your insurance will pay for.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I have been diagnosed as being diabetic. I'm still trying to, I think I am still in denial. But one question that I have is, when I wake up in the morning after, you know, having fasted for at least 8 hours, my reading is usually over 200. Is that a sign of something that I'm doing wrong, or?
What I think of that in that scenario is that what we don't realize or are told a lot of times is that how important our liver is in glucose control. Some people in logic would tell you, well, if carbohydrate foods cause my blood sugar to go up, I just won't eat carbohydrate foods and it ought to be okay. Right. But what happens is our body needs a certain amount of glucose. That is all that our body knows how to use for energy. And so if you're not eating any carbohydrates, the brain actually will tell the liver to make sugar, make glucose, and it will, and it doesn't know when to stop. And so sometimes you are better off. The key is to eat just a limited amount of carbs every 4 to 6 hours while you're awake, and then have a bedtime snack with some carbohydrate in it to try to keep the liver from making extra glucose.
Oh, okay. May I ask, do you have programs or classes? I didn't hear the beginning of the program. I'd like to actually participate and get some education from you all.
Yes, sure. We do offer classes at MTMC. We have a diabetes self-management training program, and the key is the diabetes self-management, because in our curriculum we give you the tools and the education related to how to eat, just like Beverly was just making mention of, how to eat, how to maintain, you know, a good level of activity. Both of these are huge in keeping the blood sugars controlled. The education is actually provided in the Middle Tennessee Medical Group building on the campus of the new MTMC hospital on the fourth floor. A physician referral is required, and a diagnosis of diabetes is also required for our program. Most insurances do actually provide coverage for diabetes training, and we would love to, you can call the center at 396-6123. That's the main number. And any interest that you have, we can work with you and your physician to make that education available to you.
Thank you so much. Have
Thank
a good
you.
Day.
Let me ask you before you hang up, because obviously you said you thought you might be in denial of having this. You probably just discovered. Somebody just said that you have diabetes. What was it like when they told you? Because I think what you're going through right now, somebody else can benefit from hearing this.
Well, my father has diabetes, and for some reason, I watched him, I helped him when he lived with me, but I thought it would never happen to me, and I thought I lived a healthy lifestyle, and I thought I ate, you know, right, and I was just totally blown away. I thought the numbers were wrong. I thought they made a mistake, so I really need to accept it and buckle down, and I'm so glad that this was the topic this morning, because it's been kind of a wake-up call for me.
And I'm very glad that you called in, because recognizing denial is a very common reaction to finding out you have diabetes. And the most important thing you can do is get the information that you need up front. And one thing that I do want to say, it is a lifelong, a chronic disease, but we have more medications, more tools available to treat diabetes. And the key to avoiding long-term complications is learning what you can about how to take the best care of yourself that you can.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to another call here. Our number is 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Beverly Hyatt and Teresa McDonald. How are you today?
Bart, I'm doing fine. Good morning to you and your guests.
Good morning.
I have a question. I am type 2 diabetic, and a couple of things I'd like to ask about. Number one, I've been told that cinnamon helps control the high blood sugar or to bring it down. I was wondering, is this fact or fiction? Also, if that be fact, how much cinnamon is necessary to help check blood sugar? Also, I have found that if my blood sugar goes real high and I just start really just forcing myself to drink water, drink a lot of water, that seems to help bring it down. And I was wanting to know if these are fact or fiction. And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thank you for calling. What about that?
Well, there haven't, to my knowledge, been any long-term investigative studies done on cinnamon. I know this comes up from time to time. There will be an herb or a spice or something like that that is attributed to helping with blood glucose, and I'm certainly not going to rule anything out. But as far as fact or fiction, I always say, well, if it's not going to hurt you, you might as well try it. And always, though, always tell your physician what you're about to do. Don't just do it on your own.
That's cinnamon as an herb or a spice as opposed to candy.
That's right. Yes, okay. the true cinnamon. And on your point number two, you're exactly right. If your blood sugar, one of the things you can do if it starts to go up is to start drinking a lot of water, and even to take a 15 or 20 minute walk as well will usually bring your blood sugar down. It dilutes the blood, and it is effective in bringing your blood sugar down.
How much water should a person drink a day?
About 8 glasses of water. Okay. Is what's recommended. Now, I will say this for those of you who don't like water. If you drink something that has no caffeine and no sugar in it, your body does see that as water. So, you know, these flavored packets you can put in drinks and things, those are appropriate if you need to have some flavor with your water.
Let's go back to the phones. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking this morning about diabetes, and you're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank Good. You. Interestingly enough, I was calling to let your listeners know about cinnamon. About cinnamon. My husband had a very high sugar count, and he started taking 1,000 milligrams of cinnamon before each meal, and also swimming 3 days a week at SportsCom, and his A1C went down quite a bit, where he does not have to be on medicine.
Wow.
So it's something that I think, you know, really helped him and could also help some of the listeners. It is homeopathic, and you do need to take the actual cinnamon bark. Cinnamon candy does not work. It needs to be the actual spice. So that's actually what I was calling.
Okay, cinnamon bark and swimming. How much did he swim?
He swims 3 to 4 days a week. He... even walking in the pool, just that sort of exercise. I will say that he increased his intake of vegetables and decreased any type of white starchy bread. But, yeah, he does not have to be on medicine. He just has to watch how much exercise he has during the week, and he can feel his sugar spiking and knows that he needs to take a walk or needs to drink the water and hasn't had to be put on medicine.
Oh, great. That is fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Back to the exercise. I mean, I keep hearing people talk, and I'm guilty of not doing the swimming. I do exercise. But I've heard people say swimming is probably the best exercise because it doesn't do any damage to your body, to your muscles.
Right. If you have joint issues or something like that, then the water aerobics, things like that, the water does take the weight off the joints. So it's a very appropriate, good exercise. If you don't have joint issues and there's no reason you can't walk, walking also is just a great thing to do. You don't have to jog, you know, or even do a brisk 4-mile-an-hour walk. You know, you could just go out and take a walk. Any kind of movement is better than no movement at all. So, I mean, even if you're somebody who could break yourself from drive-thrus and park your car and walk into someplace, you know, mm-hmm. just anything at all, just be aware that the more active you are, the better off you're going to be.
And heaven knows we want to avoid exercising too much.
When I talk to people and exercise comes up, I really most of the time refer them to their physician because I don't know all of their medical histories mm-hmm. when they come to me. And so I'm not going to recommend a certain exercise program because I think that needs to come from the doctor based on if they have other issues that I'm not even aware of.
What is a good amount of exercise? Somebody told me once 30 minutes a day, and I used to think it was 3 days a week, and then somebody said, no, it's every day.
It's gone up. I believe the latest is about 30 minutes, 5 days a week is optimal. But again, whatever you can do is better than nothing at all. So
exercise, drink plenty of water, at least 8 ounces or 8 glasses a day. Eight ounce mm-hmm. glasses. Wow.
And that, you know, like I said, that's just a healthy lifestyle. With or without diabetes, we all should be doing that.
And if we do that, we're going to lead a healthier life.
You hope so. You know, like I said, it's nothing's ever 100%, and I usually try to remember to tell people, you know, you can do the best you can and maintain a healthy lifestyle and a good weight. And if it's in your family or genetically you're predisposed to type 2 diabetes, then you may develop it anyway. I mean, we don't, you know, but it's certainly worth the effort to try to avoid it if you can.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the weather. We'll be back and we're going to learn some more about the special education classes offered at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Obviously, these are sources where you can live better without a lot of problems. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm under your spell.
I'm under your spell.
Like a man in a trance.
Like a man in a trance.
Wow! You know darn well.
I know darn well.
That I don't stand a chance.
If it's passed, bounced, or hit, WGNS is there with our microphones. MTSU and local sports coverage is on WGNS.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
We'll see a chance for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Mostly cloudy sky conditions, and we'll get a high into the upper 80s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Vujicki. Right now, 75.
Thank you, Jennifer. The other day I was visiting with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris over at Bell Furniture. Thoroughly enjoy going over there because Perry showed me all around, and they had some beautiful new sofas. They had a good variety of sofas, too. They had, in addition to the regular sofas, they have the sectionals. They have some chaise lounges. And they have some sofas and the recliners, you know, for a media room. You need to see these. First quality name brand furniture, half price, every day. If you don't believe me, check it out. Before you buy somewhere else, check the prices at Bell Furniture. Why would you pay more when you could get the same and oftentimes better at Bell Furniture for less? And Perry stressed, we only sell American-made furniture. Proud of that. And I'm proud that he does that, too. Head over there and see for yourself. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. Bell Furniture. Yes, it's another family business.
Start your mornings with WGNS. Weekday mornings at 9, The Truman Show. Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on the stations of WGNS.
We're back again. We're talking this morning about diabetes and how Middle Tennessee Medical Center can help us with that. And we're going to be talking about some of the education programs. But before we do that, let's squeeze in another call. You're on WGNS. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
My question is,
I'm on metformin, and I'm getting severe muscle cramps. Can you tell me, is there another medication that I can use instead of metformin?
Well, I would not assume that the metformin's causing the muscle cramps. I would investigate that further with your physician. Most of the side effects of metformin that I'm familiar with have to do with GI symptoms like cramping, bloating, and things like that.
Well, I had a situation here about 4 weeks ago. I went into the hospital, was in there for a week. They took me off all my medication, and my muscle cramps stopped. And I came, as I came back on my medication, as soon as I started taking the metformin again, I started getting muscle cramps again.
Well, as I said, I'm not saying that it is not causing the muscle cramps, but I would investigate that further. I would not take myself off of any medication before consulting the physician.
Okay.
So, you know, check with your doctor to be safe.
Alrighty. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks for calling. I don't think that was the answer he wanted.
I don't think so. It's usually not.
893-1450, you're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning. This is me.
Hi. Good to see you.
I want to express my feelings about doctors and patients with diabetes. I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 40 years old. Nobody in my family had it. My doctor said I had a malfunction in the pancreas. And I go to the retina specialist because of a diabetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. Most of those people in the waiting room have diabetes. And my doctor makes fun of me for talking to them. But, you know, those, they don't know their A1C. Some of them will say, well, what is A1C? And they don't check their blood glucose every day. They don't know what that's supposed to be. Are doctors not doing what they're supposed to?
What about that?
Well, I could spend the next hour talking about that alone. Just a personal side note, two of my four children actually have type 1 diabetes. They were diagnosed as teenagers, and they're young adults now, and they have taken the responsibility of that disease and have actually done extremely well. I'm very, very, very proud of them. Diabetes education, just to give you an indication, in 1990, when my daughter was diagnosed, we were immediately admitted to the hospital and had 3 days of education. And then 7 years later, when my son was diagnosed, he's yet to be in the hospital and has yet to have been offered any diabetes education. Now, that wasn't an issue for us because I'm a diabetes educator, but it is a tragedy that diabetes education is not more accessible than it is. I've got my own personal feelings about why that is. I won't go into, but living successfully with diabetes is all about being educated. And a lot of people who aren't doing so well, it's not because they're not trying. It's because they don't have the knowledge and the tools they need to do it. And so when we talk about diabetes and the epidemic and the money it's going to cost healthcare to take care of people and their complications, we talk about being proactive in everything. Why are we not proactive with diabetes? And that's one of my soapboxes that, like I said, I could spend an hour on, but I'm in 100% agreement with you.
Now, Teresa had mentioned a little bit earlier about some of the programs at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, the education programs, and you mentioned one key word, and that word was insurance covers most of them.
So, again,
are we looking at the insurance company being the determining factor of our health, not the doctor?
Well,
don't answer that, because that'll get you in trouble.
We could talk a lot about that particular topic, but just to let people know, that service is available, and most insurances do provide coverage for diabetes training. And that's after many years of struggling with lobbyists and, you know, different organizations trying to help insurance carriers understand. If we educate people and we provide training up front, we can prevent the exorbitant healthcare cost of taking care, as Beverly said, of the long-term complications. And so at MTMC, we have Beverly there as our educator. She is highly credentialed as not only as a certified diabetes educator, RN, Beverly also is a registered dietitian. So she can hit every point with great expertise to provide that education. And, you know, we just need to reach out to everyone. And I want to applaud you that called in, because you're doing your part just by sitting in the waiting room and trying to educate people. You can never know too much about taking care of yourself. And our calling, you know, as certified diabetes educators is to get the word out there.
Once again, what number can they call for information about the classes?
Yes, that's 396-6123.
Okay, and ma'am, thank you for calling. Thank you for bringing that up. That
yes.
is something that, you know, it's one of those things. You, our listeners, you're the ones who are directing the program, and you know the direction it needs to go. Let's squeeze in one more call before we have to leave. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hey, we had talked, I know, about a lot of the liquids. I think we were talking about, was it 8 cups or 8 ounces, or what was that limit again that you had said? I missed that.
Well, it's I believe the recommendation now is 8 8-ounce glasses of water, so that's 64 ounces a day.
Oh, okay. Would that include beverages like coffee, tea,
no,
sugar-free sodas, or that's just pure water?
No, if it does not have caffeine and does not have sugar, then you can count it as water. But of course, tea and coffee, unless they're decaffeinated, same with diet sodas, they have caffeine in them. So it needs to have no sugar, no caffeine to be counted as water.
Okay. That was kind of my question. I've always heard that coffee, of course, unless you use cream and sugar, I was just talking about plain black coffee and plain tea, you know, because tea is a beverage that is expressed, you know, like the green tea.
Right.
That type tea is good for you.
Well, so. Yes. And so, but when you're dealing with trying to hydrate your body, you don't want it to have caffeine in it either, because caffeine can dehydrate you. Caffeine is kind of a natural diuretic.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Visiting with us today, registered nurse Beverly Hyatt, a certified diabetes educator with the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center, and Teresa McDonald, the clinic manager at the Diabetes Center at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. And Teresa, once again, before we leave, what is the phone number to call for information on the study programs?
Yes, Bart, that number is 396-6123.
396-6123. Thank you both for joining us today. Thank you for helping these friends in the community. All of you have a super day. Much more to come right here on WGNS after the news, The Truman Show.
You know, when I first sang this song,